listening to Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello and welcome to episode 54 of Patty Pigskin. I'm your host, Gary Somerville. Short enough episode this week for our standards. Jer's in with me. We're going to recap the divisional round games, including the Patriots win here in Foxborough. I had the pleasure of going along, my first ever playoff game. And we have a new beer, actually pandering to Jer's tastes this week, so stay tuned for that. And then we're going to finish off the show with our conference championship game previews. So Saints versus Rams, and then Pats versus Chiefs for the AFC game from a very snowy and cold Kansas City, Missouri. All of that on this week's episode, which is episode 54 of Patty Pigskin. Let's get after it. Say congratulations. Work so hard, forgot how to vacation. They ain't never had the dedication. People hating, say we changing, look, we made it. Yeah, we made it. Our episode 54 player dedication is Randy White, defensive tackle and linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys. He was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in 1953 and played both defensive end and linebacker at Thomas McKean High School in Delaware. He's still considered their best all-time player. He started his college career as a fullback, actually, for the University of Maryland before moving to defensive end his senior year in 1974 and was ACC Player of the Year. He was selected second overall in the first round of the 1975 draft by the Dallas Cowboys and played mainly middle linebacker for his first 2 years. But he would go on to play 12 seasons with the Cowboys on their defensive line and won a Super Bowl ring at Super Bowl 12, beating the Broncos 27-10 under head coach Tom Landry. He also won the co-MVP award. The positional change was good for him. He went to 9 consecutive Pro Bowls from 77 to 85 and was also on 9 first-team All-Pro teams in the NFL. He is on the NFL 1980s All-Decade team. He's also in the Cowboys Ring of Honor, and he was voted into both the College and Pro Football Hall of Fames in 1994. Stats-wise, finished with 111 sacks, 10 fumble recoveries, and 1,104 tackles. So episode 54, player dedication is Randy White, Dallas Cowboys. Jer's out there sitting in beside me now, so let's get cracking on this week's episode of Patty Pigskin. What up, y'all? Yeah, soundtrack, what's poppin', baby? Woo! Y'all ain't know, I go by the name of Lupe Fiasco, representing that first and 15. Yeah, and this one right here, I dedicate this one right here to all my homies out there grinding. You know what I'm saying? Legally and illegally. You know what I'm talking about? So, check it out. First got it when he was 6, didn't know any tricks. Matter of fact, first time he got on it, he slipped, landed on his hip and busted his lip. For a week he had to talk with a lisp like this. Now we can end the story right here, but shorty didn't quit, it was something in the air. Yeah, he said it was something. So I have Mr. Jared O'Leary here beside me. How's it going, man?
I'm doing all right.
How are the emotions after you're still in Philly? We're actually about in Philly Green.
Yeah,
this wasn't planned, but we're about in Philly Green in honour of Big Dick Nick bowing out. What did you make of it before we go in fully into it?
I feel as if the Eagles partly lost that game on themselves, which is the sore part about it. But at the same time, I think the Saints, at this stage of the season, talent-wise and injuries, they're probably the better overall team. So I'm looking forward to the NFC game, but, you know, it still sucks to go out.
Yeah. Well, you had your fun last year, so...
We had a good year.
Into the pit of misery with me.
I wouldn't go to the pit of misery now. We weren't that fucking bad.
Right, so because you're having a rough week after your Eagles got knocked out, I know you're a cider man.
Yeah.
So is this the first time we've ever had ciders, I think, as the beer review? It might be. Unless we may have had it in one of the
Drank a Magners on the show, but obviously we didn't review it because... Yeah.
That's true.
Everyone's probably had it.
Everybody knows what a Magners or a Bulmers taste like. So this is Bantam Wonder Kind
it looks a bit hipstery, just even the can is kind of basic enough. And it's bright and crisp, 6% gluten-free as well.
Okay, there you go.
Is that good for you, is it, gluten-free?
Ah, who gives a fuck.
So we're going to sip these ciders. It's going to be a short enough one, because not much interesting shit, apart from the games.
Besides, the can is relevant to the length of the episode.
Yeah, that is true, yeah. That's a good observation.
Bright and crisp.
Bright and crisp, yeah, 6%, not
bad. Modern American cider.
You're going to measure this up against Bulmers more than likely, so yeah. Be interesting to see how it stacks up. First impression, good.
Yes.
Now, is that just because you want to wash down that fucking steak tip sandwich you had, or it's nice?
No, this is quite nice.
Jesus.
I wasn't expecting this.
That's very fucking nice, actually.
Like, for a very pale cider, like, I wasn't expecting that.
Jesus. This could be our new drink. Yeah, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
And we're off to New York for the weekend. That's another reason why we're doing this a little bit earlier.
Here's what we believe. Anything worth drinking is worth drinking well.
Absolutely, there you go. We'll grab a few of these for the road trip. We're going to Brooklyn for it's our little yearly romantic trip away that we seem to do to New York. So,
why do we never pick the summer? It's always the guts of.
Didn't we do? We went for the rugby, didn't we? When Ireland played
New
USA.
Jersey, though.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was a one dayer trip, you know. Yeah. This is a little overnighter with some cuddling.
And it's going to be cold, or there will be cuddling. Yeah, Barclays Center, Saturday night, UFC. First one on ESPN, actually, on ESPN Plus, whatever that streaming service is. So, a few good fighters. Personal favorite, there's Cowboys on the card.
Yeah.
Another personal favorite, Paige Van Zandt.
Who?
For two obvious reasons. She's on the card as well.
For someone that just gets battered in her fights and blood pissing out, she never seems to have scars on her face.
I know, yeah. Doctors do a great job. 21 or 22. Healing power is very good, you know. Anyway, enough about Matt's baiting the fucking piss out of each other. We're going to talk some football. We're going to recap.
Talk some guys baiting the piss out of each other.
Or girls. Some people say Brady is... or Rivers, actually. It was more Rivers that was a bit bitchy and moany over the weekend. Anyway, we'll get to that game in a bit. The Saturday afternoon game was at Arrowhead. And it was the number one seed of the AFC. Kansas City Chiefs, they beat the Colts. The number six seed... 31-13. Disappointed with the Colts here, wasn't it? It was come in so hot and they beat the Texans.
You know, as we said it, I jokingly said you jinxed Eric Ebron. You know he had some big drops in that game.
Mm.
But to me, the most disappointing thing was the offensive line that has been so dominant all year, got absolutely dominated by a Chiefs D-line who's not been dominant all year.
Yeah.
And which allowed the Chiefs, again, I could be wrong, so don't take my word for it, but is it Andy Reid has never lost a game after a bye week? So he's had that week off. I heard this on some other station or something.
That's fucking mad.
But some of the plans that he comes up with when he has this week off just to watch which team he's going to play, and Mahomes didn't have to throw the whole game. Yeah. You know, they mixed up the run game, which was very dominant as well. So.
Yeah. Damian Williams, so they have two D Williams on their team. 25 carries, 129 yards, one touchdown. They haven't really shown any drop off after Kareem. Yeah. Like, we saw Kareem Hunt go and we're like, oh Jesus, how is the run game going to be affected? But Spencer Ware, he stepped up when he needed it, and now Damian Williams has stepped up as well. And even Tyreek Hill had a rushing touchdown. They can always incorporate him into the jet sweep game.
Yeah.
So they have those kind of...
What was the story? Barry was texting the group chat there during the game and I was looking at something else at the time. Did you have Pat Mahomes in your lineup?
We did, yeah.
And the first two TDs were running TDs?
Okay. I was fucking fuming. I think he had about 17 points, which he was $7,000 on DraftKings. So that's normally, you want to be hitting at least 20 points there. But yeah, he went 20, not the normal monster stats you'd expect him to put up, but the weather kind of did play a bit of a factor.
And I suppose the game plan, like, you're having such a good run game, like, what? You don't need to be throwing the ball through the air. But the Colts, you know, they did have a chance to bring that, and I think luck just let them down a lot.
Mahomes was, well, we'll compare the two quarterbacks. Mahomes, 27 for 41, 278 yards, no passing TDs. We had the rushing TD.
Yep.
Luck, 19 for 36, 203 yards only, and one touchdown. But like you said about the O-line, they only gave up 18 sacks all year. They gave up 3 sacks alone in that game, 6 QB hits. And there was that fumble recovery as well by Justin Houston. Like an O-line that
just got the ball back from a fumble recovery themselves.
So and even Marlon Mack, like they didn't really give him any carries. I think it was 12 carries, but they just weren't on the field because they had three and outs left, right and centre at the start. So just a very disappointing kind of offensive showing from a team that has been shown they can run the ball well behind that O-line. And now, you know, likes of T.Y. Hilton, Eric Ebron had been stepping up big time in the passing game. So
and T.Y. was just hurt as well, I believe.
Yeah, I think I've read reports where there's been many, many weeks where he hasn't actually practiced. He just shows up on Sunday and balls out. But he wasn't 100%. And that was the Chiefs' first playoff win versus the Colts in their last five meetings. So they had a little score to settle there. But yeah, overall, disappointing really for the
wasn't
Colts,
great.
Wasn't it?
There's the two AFC games this week weren't very exciting at all.
Yeah, kind of very much one-sided. The Saturday night game was actually out on the piss around Boston, so it's kind of throwing my eye over as I knocked a few beers into me with my cousin. But that was the number two ranked LA Rams beat the number five seed Dallas Cowboys, which we're both happy about.
Yeah,
I would assume. 30-22. What do you think of that one?
Great to see. I actually didn't really get to see the
great
game.
Great to see it. You love to see it.
I was doing a few things myself, so I was kind of checking periodically in and out. And great to see the Cowboys lose. Love seeing that there. But like, the scoreline doesn't say, hey, there was anything big difference here. But just from what I've heard from people is that the Rams just had their number all night.
Yeah.
And again, I said to you off air, I heard on another show that even Twitter was going off the rails there, that they could figure out what the Cowboys D-line was going to do before they did it. And the Rams O-line just knew what to do. Great to see Andrew Whitworth finally win a game in the playoffs.
Absolutely, yeah.
After, it's like his eighth attempt or something.
Do you reckon that tip-off was, they were tipping off when it was going to be a run play? Because Ezekiel Elliott, who has been the leading rusher all year, he was held to, I think it was only 47 carries, or 47 yards on 20 carries.
Well, it's the other way around, that the Rams O-line knew what the Dallas defensive line was going to do and which gaps they were going to be securing.
Gotcha, yeah. But that was a very disappointing display from their run game.
Well, it's one of these things about, like, Leighton Vander Esch was constantly being taken out of the game and Sean Lee was putting in, and you could see Vander Esch was on the sideline pissed. But I just think that the Rams threw so much schemes at them with people moving around constantly that maybe just the rookie in him was like, what the hell do I do here? Who do I mark? You know?
Yeah.
And you could see him like getting blown up by the offensive line, which normally doesn't happen.
And the Cowboys, they just couldn't stop that 1-2 punch that the Rams had. And that's something we never thought we'd say. It's like, you know, someone else apart from Todd Gurley, because it's just been him constantly, you know. But fair play to CJ Anderson between him, Gurley, 115 yards. CJ Anderson had 123 yards.
What John
Gruden
knows about talent here. All these guys that are leaving the Oakland Raiders here are just bossing it in other teams, you know.
That's right. Well, he's been cut from, I was going to mention it later on, but he's been cut from three different teams in 1 year alone. So he was cut from the Broncos, cut from the Panthers, cut from the Raiders.
Wow.
And now he's with the Rams, and he's put up
with a chance to go to a Super Bowl.
And he's put up serious numbers.
But I did see an article just before we came online that Jerry Jones came out and said the reason the Cowboys lost was because of the slippery surface.
Shut the fuck up, Jerry. You fucking lost. Get over it. Like,
didn't stop him buying like a fucking size. Do you see the yacht he bought last week? The size of two football fields.
Fucking dickhead. Neither QB as well stood out. It was, it was kind of disappointing.
Goff's retracted a lot towards the end of the
absolutely,
year.
Absolutely, yeah. He only went 15 for 28, 186 yards. A real good stat about him later on that I'll get to. No touchdowns. Dak slightly better. 20 completions on 32 attempts for a touchdown and 266 yards. So Dak on paper was the better quarterback, but like, you know, neither of them really looked impressive. It was just, it was just a run game that the Rams had was the difference there. And LA also controlled the clock. They had a nice helping of time possession there. 36 minutes to just under 24 minutes.
Wow.
So they seem to be just controlling the trenches, really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line was rolling, and then they were controlling, you know, the run game. Cowboys just couldn't get out and
the
done.
The Rams, really, since their bye week after the game against the Chiefs, haven't really come out and been throwing up all the points on teams they were at the start of the year, you know? So,
yeah. that's something to watch for now this week, because like the Saints, well, I guess we would have put the Saints as putting up a ton of points against your Eagles, you know, against a secondary that was beat up and they didn't do it.
We'll talk about when we get that to that game.
Yeah,
some interesting facts.
Because I was looking at the over, I was like, yeah, I'll fucking take that. Because I thought that the Eagles weren't being respected. Mm-hmm. And I did say they'd kind of hang around a little bit. Anyway, we'll get to that game. Sunday afternoon game was one I actually went to. And I was fucking freezing at it. And that was the number two AFC seed, which is weird to say because they've fucking been the number one seed for so long. When's the last time? 2013. They weren't the number one seed.
Right.
Which we'll also get to later. Mm-hmm. All these nuggets we have for later on in the show. We're not going to ruin them now. Pats beat the Chargers 41-28. And even that's kind of like a bit of a flattering scoreline. As my favourite rapper, Maxo Cream, said, it's a bust down. And that's what it is.
Yeah, they weren't 13-point favorites. They
beat the bollocks out of them for the whole game.
Yeah, like it. And I went with the Chargers last week as an upset to win. You know, I really wanted to go with the Patriots, but I said, you know, fuck it, I'll go with the Chargers.
And that was a spur of the moment decision, by the way. You just flipped on the spot, like.
The closest they got was the touchdown straight away. They were never in the game after that.
And that was kind of like, that was a weird one because I did say that Gilmore would be on Keenan Allen for the most part.
I think it was blown coverage.
It was blown coverage, yeah. And he did.
He looked at something inside. And his tension went there.
He only had two catches. Keenan Allen had two catches. That was one. He had another one for 40 yards. I think that was more in the garbage time region of things. But that's what I was saying. It was like it was up to someone like a Mike Williams to step up. Mm-hmm. And he did have a ton of catches. But at that stage, like they got their two touchdowns to Virgil Green and Antonio Gates.
Yeah.
Within the last game.
Great to see Antonio
get
it. That could end up being his last game or his last TD, you know.
Yeah. Good to see him get another kind of shot when Hunter Henry went down. I was like, all right, here we go. You got to get Antonio Gates. The Pats, they found their run game. Sony Michel took a few games to start, you know.
Well, I think this is
going,
where everybody thought the Ravens would be successful against the Chargers. They're not a big defense. They're small and nippy, you know, but they're not physically big guys.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, where everybody thought the Ravens were just going to run it down their throat, and they didn't. The Patriots were like, okay, thank you. This is essentially the Seattle defense that we've beaten numerous times, so we're just going to run the same game plan we did to beat them.
Yeah, and Sony Michel, 129 yards, 24 carries, 3 touchdowns, and even James White, he equaled your boy Darren Sproles' record for most receptions ever in a game. 15 receptions for a running back. Pretty fucking good. It seemed like every other play he was making a catch out of the backfield, which I did kind of say with the fast pass rush between Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa that Brady might want to get the ball
fast,
out.
Yeah, but like again, where some of these guys succeed is that they're so fast and they're going against, they're still big tackles, but they're not the biggest tackles.
Mm.
You know, whereas the Patriots have two big tackles there. You know, you're physically going to have to beat them.
Trent Brown.
You know, he is a mammoth of a man.
Oh, God.
So you're going to have to beat him fast.
He's fucking 6'9", and he's like 340 or 50
like
pounds.
Bosa went up to Brady and told him to stop getting rid of the ball so quickly, you know. It's just
well,
one
like,
of those.
That's comes with the territory of being a fast pass rush. Teams are they want to get the ball out quick. It's like when you play the Bears, for example.
Yeah.
You have this fearsome fucking pass rush from the edge. How do you nullify that? You get your scat back, someone like James White, fucking phenomenal pass catcher. You get him out in the flats or running, like, you know, that Texas route where it's out and around and back in towards the middle. That's how you nullify that. Those guys are going to have to respect it.
People, like, I've been sick and tired of like, speaking to Patriots fans for the past couple of days. You know, so, you gave us no chance. You gave us no chance. Everyone's saying we're crap. And I was like, nobody's saying you're crap.
Yeah, nobody said they sucked.
Nobody said, like, if they're saying you're bad, they're not saying you're a bad team. You're the worst Patriots team they've seen in the last few years. You're still the Patriots, though, you know? Now, you were an inferior talent-wise team here. Mm. The better team lost talent-wise, but the better team won. The team with the better coaches that came up with the plans that are able to adjust, that have been there before. Like, after the first quarter, you could see none of those Chargers players wanted to be there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They knew they had to play it another three quarters.
Same with the fans, by the way. That was a
my manager was at it, and there was a kid beside her, and him and the dad are from Maryland, but they're Chargers fans.
Right.
This was the kid's first ever game, first ever NFL game. And in like the second quarter,
way to demoralize
him. He took the blanket and put it over himself and said, "Dad, wake me up if the Chargers do anything."
Where we were actually, so shout out to our softball coach and buddy,
fuck him,
Craig, for giving me the ticket. But that's on the visiting sideline, so there was a fair few Charger fans, and some of them were starting to leave at halftime, like just into the third quarter.
So demoralizing, you know. Yeah. You're expecting a great game. This is the best Chargers team in a while, and they just got battered. Like literally, couldn't do anything on defense or on offense either. It just
couldn't get going.
Just couldn't do a thing.
The Pats just smothered him. In fairness, though, Rivers, he did have 331 yards and 3 touchdowns. But like we said earlier on, two of those were garbage time within the last 10 minutes of the game when it was over. But the O-line was just bullied. Like, even Melvin Gordon, fucking 15 yards rushing. Yeah. They gave up 7 QB hits and just, like you said, a ton of pressure. They couldn't get out and going. It seemed like every other down, Rivers is either on his hole or there's somebody in his face. And then, as Rivers does, he fucking whinges at the refs and, you know, it just makes it look worse.
It looks a lot worse. There was a couple of ones where I seen the Chargers didn't get the rub of the green there, and it was probably because they were away to the Patriots and the Patriots are at home. But it doesn't help because they're getting spanked as well, so he does look like he's crying a lot.
Does that not make it the boy who cried wolf situation, where you're bitching at every fucking play, then when something bad does happen, they're like, "Well, you're moaning every play, so I'm not going to give you the flag," you know? Sometimes you just need to shut the fuck up. And shout out to that female down judge. That was history there. Sarah Thomas was the first ever female official in a playoff game. So fair play to her. I wasn't down close enough to the sideline to
hear. Do you think if the Patriots lost, she would have got the blame?
Pats fans will blame anybody but themselves when they lose, won't they? Sunday night game in the Superdome. Sorry for you to relive this. It was the number one seed Saints beat your number six Eagles 20-14. I don't think we really need to remind you how the game finished with Alshon Jeffrey dropping that. Up until that moment, right, he had one drop all season. So a droppable pass in the NFL is deemed something where a defender isn't there to have it classified as a pass defended. Mm-hmm. So when you get hands on the ball, it's a drop. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't get completed, that was his only second drop all season. Yeah. So a guy who has been very reliable, but yeah, just went through the wickets. Like we've all been there. We've had that ball that's come at us with a little bit of fucking hot sauce on it. It slips through like a bar of soap. But normally we're going up against guys that aren't as fucking athletic as Marshawn Lattimore, who's going to pick that off, you know?
Well, the thing is, right, there was a lot of things I didn't like about this game. There was a load of Doug Peterson calls I didn't like, especially some of the timeouts he called at the beginning of the third quarter and in the second quarter when we could have used those timeouts. Like, I didn't even see that pick because I turned it off. I changed the channel because there was like it was going down to the 2-minute warning. So I changed the channel. And then I looked at someone's Twitter live feed and I was like, wait, I haven't seen that play yet. And I clicked on and it was picked off and it was them running around the field cheering. I was like, what the fuck just happened here, you know? So that whole like...
You not say Dan Hanses was live tweeting or something like that?
He was live like with around the NFL crew. But I couldn't understand when there was like 2:07 why you rushed to play instead of just waiting for the 2-minute warning and taking more time off the clock then instead of giving Breeze the ball back.
Yeah.
So I couldn't understand. And it looked, the way they were moving the ball was they're going to get a TD.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was
you
like,
know, I was like,
he's going to drive the field and they're going to fucking win.
No idea why
we all picked the Saints. I was like, here we go. He's going to prove us wrong once again.
Now again, the play call was right because when you're rushing it up, they're going to defend the end zone or the outs to keep you in the field.
Yeah.
So the slant across the middle is the perfect play there.
And now, that's a bread and butter play normally.
He makes that catch 9.5 times out of 10.
Oh, yeah. There's just not more.
This time he just dropped it.
Soft coverage. But there was nobody on him.
At the same time, again, we talked about it off air and on air last week that we didn't think it was going to be as big a blowout this week just because the Eagles were pissed off because the Saints ran the score up on them, especially when they were injured so badly heading into the game. Again, then when you're in the game and you lose Brandon Brooks, Fletcher Cox, Rasul Douglas, and Michael Bennett all in the one game, all in the one quarter.
And you're already beat up on the back end.
So you've already had 13 DBs this year, and then you lose Rasul Douglas, and then it was some guy Hawkins or somebody went on Michael Thomas, and Michael Thomas just went off.
Had a day.
Had a fucking field day then. And everybody's like, oh, Michael Thomas is great. Michael Thomas carried that team. It wasn't Drew Brees. It was Michael Thomas won that game for them. But at the same time, you're going against a DB that wasn't on any team for like 13 weeks of the season.
And someone like Michael Thomas is just going to make shite of him.
You know, it's you lose Fletcher Cox and Michael Bennett. Maybe they both came back in, but I don't think they were both as effective then. And you lost Brandon Brooks, who's the right guard. And that right side of our line is so strong.
Mm.
And you lose him, and Wisniewski has to go in there. He's not as good as Brandon Brooks. Brandon Brooks all pro, you know, so.
Michael Bennett looked all right when he wanted to fucking smash up that cameraman after the game.
He looked all right then. But
he was grand, didn't he?
That wouldn't be too hard. But like, it's like saying that.
He is a scumbag.
No, the Saints, they did lose your man. Was it? Who was the nose tackle? Sheldon Richardson or Shelton? Because they lost a nose tackle before Brandon Brooks went down.
The Eagles?
No, the Saints.
Can't remember.
So they like that for them again. And Andres Pete, then you find out yesterday he was playing with a hand he had surgery on a number of weeks ago. You know, like because you see Fletcher Cox was kicking his ass.
Mm.
But it's like to say, hey, Saints, you're going to lose your nose tackle. You're going to lose Cameron Jordan. You're going to lose Lattimore, and you lost Pete for the game, right? Now, again, Cameron's going to come back. Your nose tackle may come back, but they're going to be limited.
Mm.
Do you think you're really going to win the game when you lose four key players like that?
It's tough.
It's going to be tough. Yeah. It's not making excuses. The overall better team was there, you know, but
which is what just sucks
because you went 14-0 up, and I texted the group, and I was like, I think we've scored too early, too soon here.
Because we were on the way home from Foxborough, and we couldn't see any of it. I was just like, there's a fucking another touchdown. And we were like, all right, here we go. The Eagles are coming out. And it was exactly the game plan they needed. Come out early, put up points. Because you know the Saints can score at any moment. Shut that fucking crowd up in the Superdome. They played it to a T for the first quarter. And then they just went cold all the way up to the end.
It changed when Nick Foles underthrew the pass to Zach Ertz. And Lattimore picked it off. Because then the very next drive then was where they went for the fake punt.
Mm.
And Fletcher Cox got injured in that one play. So, again, it's one where everybody's criticizing Doug, saying he should have taken the penalty and made it 3rd-and-11 instead of 4th-and-1. It's a flip of a coin, you know. Mm. It's 4th-and-1. Will they really go for the fake punt on their own 30-yard line? If they miss it, they put the Eagles in prime position to score again. And I believe if the Eagles scored another TD there and went 21-0 up, that game's over, you know. But like Fletcher Cox has been kicking their ass all. It's like the D line actually didn't think they were going to run a fake punt, and none of them took it too seriously. And then Cox got double teamed and went down on his leg, and got hurt. You know, and then from then on, and then the touchdown, that guy Hawkins that was on Kirkwood for the TD didn't know what he was doing. Kirkwood got so open, so just an all round. And then it's gonna be interesting for the Eagles now, and we can talk about it in our off season podcasts where they go from here.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of. They're already over the cap space and a lot of key veterans coming up. You know, they're getting on in age. They're carrying big contracts. So it'll be interesting to see.
The last time the Saints got this far, they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the Eagles, we know, won't be repeating. The last time that happened was the 2004 Patriots.
Yeah.
So, as we know, it's hard to go back to the big dance and it's even harder to win it. But we'll see if that can be done. We're going to take a quick break. How's that cider going now?
It's going down very well.
It's fucking real nice, isn't it? Might have to bust open the other cans now in a minute. We're going to take a quick break, and then we will be back with our... We said it was going to be short. It's probably still going to be about a 45-minute episode. We'll be back with our conference championship game previews. Even though it's January, people are probably saying, oh, fantasy football season is over. Absolute hogwash, because DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, goes all year long and all the way up till the end of the football season. We now have about 80 people in our Paddy Pigskin League. We play fantasy football every week, whether it's in the playoffs or the regular season. We even do the bleeding Pro Bowl. So you can join our league. And you can also join DraftKings at any time throughout the year. But for football season, still a few games left. Basically, you have a 50 grand salary cap. Pick our players from the remaining teams. Watch our points pile up. Compete with me and the boys, and you can win some money. We normally have the top three people in our league every week win some money. It also gives you a bit more of a vested interest in some of the games you might not necessarily care about when you have a DraftKings team on the line. So get to DraftKings.com now or download the DraftKings app. Use our promo code Paddy, P-A-D-D-Y. That's on DraftKings.com or the DraftKings app. And you can start taking part in Daily Fantasy and win your share of a shitload of money that's up for grabs on DraftKings. So join us now. Promo code Paddy at DraftKings. The game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Terms and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, we're going to finish off the show with our conference championship game. That's a bit of a tongue twister. Previews. So first up, we have, it's 3:05 Eastern, so that's just past 8 o'clock Irish time.
8:05, yeah.
8:05 NFC Championship game in the Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana. It is ones and twos basically in both games, which is great, as it's designed to be. The number two Rams at the number one Saints. Are we going to be back from New York? We haven't decided yet, are we?
We
going to be back from New York or what's the
crack? If the weather plays.
The polar vortex or whatever the fuck it's called is going to be coming down. We'll see how the weather is.
Worst cities to be stuck.
That's true. And Martin Luther, have you got work off the Monday?
Yes, I do.
We both have Martin Luther King Day off for the Monday. So, yes, it wouldn't be the worst place to be stuck.
No.
For a snow day. But Rams at Saints, over under 56.5 right now. Saints are 3.5-point favourites. Give me your thoughts on this one.
Three and a half.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just 3 points normally for the home team. Just a half point actual real favorite. I don't know. I don't know what I want to see, because I really want to see Andy Reid win it. You know, overall. But I'm like, the Saints, they're like the fucking discotheque in the changing rooms after the game. The fucking IRA masks on. You know, just I'm like, these guys are on another level. And I will say
that might have been one of the smartest captions I've come up. You can't spell Alvin Kamara or Martin Ingram without the IRA in it.
But
proud of that one.
The
our dog just ran in. He's saying hello.
Hi, Barney.
Hi, Barney.
But I think the Saints will win.
Yeah.
The over is quite high there. I'm nearly thinking this could just be a defensive battle, you know, because both teams haven't been scoring as much as they were earlier on in the season. But I think over the three facets of the game, I think the Saints are the stronger team.
Okay.
Especially with Goff not playing too well.
Yeah.
Again, Breeze is the same as well. He's not playing great either. Like, you can see the zips come off his passes at this stage of the season.
Jared Goff, right?
Yeah.
He played well when they played in week 9. He had 391 yards and 3 touchdowns. Wow. Overall, he's had a good year.
Yeah.
4,688 yards, 32 touchdowns to 12 ints. Guess how many touchdowns he has in his last 6 games?
4.
Not far off. 6.
Okay.
So he's averaging one. He has, we mentioned earlier, he's trailed off since November. He has 0 touchdowns against 3 playoff teams.
Wow.
He had 0 touchdowns when he played the Bears. He had 0 touchdowns when he played the Eagles. He had 0 touchdowns last week when he played the Dallas Cowboys. That's worrying. If you're a Rams fan, you're looking at when
really good defenses.
Yeah, but when you're the Saints,
that's
fairness,
what I mean. The Saints are a very have good improved. Defense, so.
Like at the start of the year, we looked at them going their defense and their secondary in particular really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But now a lot of their defensive guys have really kind of knuckled down. If you look at some of the PFF grades,
yeah.
Almost all of them are graded at a high level, not elite. So the likes of Von Bell, Marshawn Lattimore, even Eli Apple, to give him credit, was muck when he was with the Giants. And just a change of scenery, maybe being in with his Ohio State buddies or something like that, has kind of improved how he is playing. But, you know, when you're a Rams fan and you're looking at Jared Goff to get that passing game going on, it's worrying that he hasn't thrown touchdowns against playoff caliber teams.
Yeah.
And he's coming up against, you know, the playoff caliber team here in the Saints. That's what worries me. Some of the other points, like on the other side of the ball, Aqib Talib, he wasn't playing in that week 9 game when I think it was Michael Thomas had like 10 receptions for 211 yards, something mental like that. He's been playing at a high level.
PFF, you could see it when he went out of the game against the Cowboys, they started throwing up the yards.
Exactly, yeah. The PFF guys have him graded at 78.5, which is quite a high grading. So he's going to have to step up and have a good game if Michael Thomas isn't going to eat, because Michael Thomas, as we know, fucking PPR machine. He was the go-to guy against your Eagles.
Well, you got Ted Ginn Jr. back as well.
He didn't do much in the other game, but...
He didn't do much, but like...
He's back, definitely, you know, a threat.
As you see, that the Chargers weren't putting Hunter Henry out there because of his conditioning.
Mm.
It wasn't that he didn't have the talent, it was just his conditioning.
Is there a dog squeaking over there, is he? What's he got this time? He's got a massive fucking pink furry pig that he's squeaking on here.
There's some
shark. Jairz is giving him some steak tips there.
There you go.
That'll keep him occupied. We've already mentioned CJ Anderson has been fantastic. Cut by three teams. The three games with the Rams, he's had 422 yards and 4 touchdowns on 66 carries. So he's been fucking fantastic for someone who we thought he's gone out of the league.
Yeah.
So if Gurley is more the speed back, it also says a lot for the O-line as well.
Yeah.
If someone like CJ has been in, this is his fourth system in the space of 12 months, and he's able to put up those numbers. Like, if he was an unreal running back, he probably should have been putting up decent numbers at those other clubs, but he wasn't really performing. So it does say a lot for the Rams' offensive line. But I feel like the way Goff is playing, he's tailed off those last few weeks. He's been playing bad against playoff-caliber teams. If they don't get the run game going, I think the Rams are in for a long day. I've got the Saints winning this game.
Yeah, I'm going with the Saints.
I also like the narrative of Drew Brees. His window is closing. Like, he's 40, just turned 40 there the other night.
Yeah.
He's been a fantastic servant to New Orleans. He only signed a 2-year extension for whatever it was, $20 million each of those years. I do think it's now or never for him. We don't know if he's going to be back in the NFC game.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since they've been in one.
Yeah.
Even though he has that talent, you don't know how the roster is going to shape out the next year or so. I just think it's now or never for Brees. And maybe even Sean Payton. Who knows?
Well, I think Sean may stay.
But... Oh, yeah. I'm not saying he's going anywhere. But he has a fantastic opportunity now. All the pieces are aligning. Like, the Saints' defense is starting to come good when the time is, you know, really important. We all know their offense can strike through the air. Brees is one of the best quarterbacks ever, maybe, to play the game. They've got that two-headed monster, speed and power in the running backs. I just think that the stars are aligning for them. And I just don't think Goff has it.
Yeah.
He's getting cold at the wrong time. And that's never, as we both know, you want to come in and go through the playoffs hot. I think Goff is kind of going the other way. He's cooling off.
I just wouldn't be surprised if Sean McVay comes up with some masterful offensive game plan and Goff looks amazing this weekend. It just doesn't surprise me.
Okay. One more point I had was about Aaron Donald. He was just awarded the Pro Football Writers Association Defensive Player of the Year, which doesn't make us look like absolute idiots, because we had him as a consensus pick for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
So he's coming in with a 20 sack season. He's going to be lining up.
20 and a half.
20 and a half, sorry. He's going to be lining up over, you mentioned him earlier on, Andres Pete. He is there by far the Saints' worst offensive lineman. He's ranked number 79th out of all left guards in the NFL.
Really?
He has a
PFF. I've heard some people on other podcasts talk really highly of Andres Pete, you know?
He's a PFF rating of 39.5, which is very bad. That's what they grade him as.
Yeah.
So he needs to get consistent pressure on Brees.
Well, the problem is, for the Saints, is that he had hand surgery 3 weeks ago. So he doesn't have the full power in his left hand, or his left or right hand, whichever one he got operated on. And Fletcher Cox ran amok over him. You know, he was dragging him to the ground to not let him get near.
What's fucking Sue and Aaron Donald going to do?
You know, well, I'd be worried about Aaron Donald and Sue. But,
yeah, and on the other side now, to be fair, the offensive line, you've got right guard Larry Warford and Ryan Ramczyk. They are both graded quite high.
Yeah.
Interesting stat. The Saints are first in the NFL in runs behind right tackle and they are second most off right guard. So they do run off the right side quite a lot. So I think if they do get that right, that run game going, it's going to be behind the two lads who have been a nice little tandem.
You got Max Unger as well, great centre.
Yeah. Another interesting stat about Breeze, actually. He has the third quickest release of all NFL quarterbacks, 2.6 seconds. When he gets the ball out quicker than that, he has 18 touchdowns to only 3 interceptions.
Wow.
So when Breeze gets the ball out quick, he does very well. So if he can avoid, if his offensive line can avoid that pressure right up the gut from the likes of Aaron Donald, maybe Sue, who was underwhelmed since he signed that big deal.
The thing is, right, so it's tough when if you're not really a defensive look, if you don't really watch defensive plays and you look at his stats.
That's true.
They may not look great, but there's no stat for fucking the play up.
So maybe you should create one.
And you fuck the play up and suddenly Donald is there to make the sack, you know, or they've had to do something that isn't as part of the run wasn't going here and they've had to cut back, you know. So he's in there taking the double teams on. He's doing his bit, you know. It mightn't be like, oh my God, where's the 12 sack season thing that we're expecting? But he's still helping them on that.
Maybe we should get a new stat, FPUs. How many FPUs have you got on your Sue? How many players has he fucked up?
Yeah.
I don't know. You could be one of the... And yeah, that's the thing. You look at the stats and you're like, yeah, Aaron Donald has all these sacks and the rest of it. But if he's taking away some of the, you know, the offensive lineman attention and then Donald is getting in based off what Sue was doing, that is something that's hard to quantify. So we've both got the Saints winning that.
Saints, yeah.
Right, the AFC game. Barney might want to cover his ears for this one. He just looked up there because his New England Patriots are on the road, 6:40 Eastern time. It's a late one for the many, many Patriot fans that are in Ireland.
Yeah.
Almost midnight for them. The number two Pats at the number one AFC seeds, over under 54.5. That's actually taken a knock by about 1.5 points, I think.
Really?
Mainly because of the weather. Chiefs are 3-point favourites. So I thought I'd share with the listeners some Pats stats, sorry.
Yeah, I've seen them.
So AFC Championship Road Games in the Brady era, okay? First one, 2001 at Pittsburgh. This was the game now where Drew Bledsoe got hurt.
Yeah.
The Patriots won that game 24-17. Brady, 115 yards, 0 touchdowns. 2004, at Pittsburgh again, a 41-27 win, 201 yards and 2 touchdowns. Now it gets a little bit hairy for the Pats fans. 2006, at the Colts, this was a big one, 38-34 loss, Brady, 232 yards and 1 touchdown. And then we move into more Peyton Manning messiness. 2013 at Denver, 26-16 loss, 277 yards and 1 touchdown. And then finally, 2015 at the Denver Broncos again, a 20-18 loss, 310 yards, 1 touchdown. He had 2 wins. So, in 5 road AFC Championship games since 2001, the Brady era, only once has he thrown over 300 yards and only once has he thrown for 2 touchdowns. And that was the last one they won, which was in 2004 on the road to the Steelers. So based off these numbers, and yeah, I'm a numbers guy, you can talk about performance and all that sort of stuff, but when he goes on the road in AFC Championship games, he doesn't put up the biggest numbers in the world. Mm-hmm. And some people will say from a fantasy standpoint, Brady doesn't anyway. But he definitely is better when he's playing in Foxborough in an AFC Championship game.
100%.
Because they fucking win them all the time. They haven't gone on the road since that one in 2004 and won one. So do you think that going on the road is going to affect them that much?
It's a tough one.
Especially at this age.
You got to look at the teams they're playing, right? The Denver Broncos and Mile High is a tough place to go, you know, especially in the winter time as well. And those years, their defense was unbelievable. I think possibly in maybe the 2015 one, if it was played in Foxborough, they probably would have won it. But the Colts as well, with Peyton Manning, were something phenomenal. But I did hear a stat on the way over on one of these Boston sports shows. The Peyton Manning, or not Peyton Manning, Tom Brady's only played in one game before as cold as this Sunday's going to be. And he's played in a handful of games below 20 before. You know, so I know people are talking about the cold. He's played in the cold. He's played in one game colder than this before in his whole life. You know, so...
It's going to be cold.
It's going to be fucking freezing.
It's going to be cold for us where we are. It's going to be even fucking colder there, but it sounds like things.
Just, oh man. I don't know.
I'll get to some more on the weather in a minute, but I have to give a shout out to Steve O'Rourke. He gave me a good little nugget here. In 342 games as Pat's head coach, Bill Belichick has only conceded 40 plus points 7 times. 3 of those have actually come to Andy Reid. All as head coach of the Chiefs. 2014, 41-14. That was Pat's last trip to Arrowhead. In 2017, that was a win, by the way. In 2017, 42-27. That was in Foxborough. That was on the opening night. That was a bit of a shock. And then only a couple of months ago, 42-40. In favour of the Pats in
at home again, yeah.
So Andy Reid, he is 6-2 to Bill Belichick overall, but
really
he can dial up offensive schemes,
yep,
to put up points. So if it wasn't as cold and the weather was going to be as iffy as it is, I think I said to you, I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if this is easily over 60 points. But do you think that weather is just going to play that? Because the Chiefs have played already. They've had a bit of cold weather experience playing that game against the Colts. Do you think that's going to be enough experience for them to be like, this isn't so bad, we can do what we normally do?
Yeah, well, they play. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one because players are going to have to stay warm. You don't want the muscles seizing up in this weather, you know? So how far can Tyreek Hill sprint it out before he may hurt himself? Touch wood, he doesn't. I've said I'm going to go with the Patriots just on their experience of being to the main show before. And I think maybe their defense will play a little bit better than the Chiefs' defense. And Belichick and McDaniels coming up with a scheme or something, you know. I want the Chiefs to win. I want that to be known. I do not support the Patriots. This is clearly on if I think they will win or not. Yes, I will.
Barney just let out a huff there. He's not happy with that.
Hey, do you want some short rib? Heads up. But no, they live out there throughout the year. They play in December. It's cold in December, you know.
Yeah.
The Patriots, Tom Brady's played in a game as cold as it's going to be this Sunday. What about the other 52 players? Have they ever played in a game going to be this cold?
Yeah.
So
it is possible that it could be the coldest in modern NFL history. Kickoff could be from, a lot of our Irish listeners are going to be like, what the fuck's he talking about? 10 degrees Fahrenheit. To well below zero, which is about minus 10 or minus 20 in air currency centigrade. So it's going to be very, very cold. And Edelman will still be out there with no sleeves on.
But will he do a Quentin Nelson on it? Will he warm up?
I've seen him going out there with these little shorts that are all ripped up and all, so you can kind of see the bottom of the quads and all. That guy doesn't give a fuck. We'll also see, I had this post up on the Facebook page earlier, the last lunar eclipse of the decade, which, I shit you not, is being called a super blood wolf moon.
Yeah.
Bill Triatin, won't he?
Anything at all.
He called up the Chinese and he's like, here, listen, I need a climate change favour. Send over a fucking blue moon there, will you?
Send over a polar vortex. The Chinese did land on the backside of the moon last week, so they did, you know.
They're growing sprouts and all there now, last time I checked. So I'm going with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Just because we all know the Pats, what they do well is take away the other team's best player. The Chiefs, they have a three-headed monster when it comes to offensive players.
Yeah.
Mahomes, over 5,000 yards, 50 TDs, 113.8 rating. Kelce, 103 receptions, almost 1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill, who they can also use in the run game, as we saw last week. 87 receptions, 14.79 yards, 12 touchdowns. Who do you lock down if you're Bill?
You're locking down Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill. So then that leaves the reception machine, Kelce, over the middle, who catches all the hard ones.
Well,
so is it kind of...
stick one of the McCourtney's on him. You'll have Dante Hightower sitting in the middle as well, so he's not coming across the middle getting some cheap catches. You'll have Gilmore on Tyreek Hill probably.
Yeah.
With help over the back side as well. And with Mahomes, it's just your linebackers and your D-line. And I think the Patriots will do the same thing they've done to the Chargers, and they'll look at the Chiefs D-line and linebackers and go, you ain't overall fairly big, and we're just going to run it up the middle because Bill doesn't give the ball to any one running back. He splits it around.
Yeah.
So every one of them is coming in fresh as opposed to him favoriting a player.
And even Burkhead
gets the touches.
Burkhead's back now. He got a touchdown against the Chargers. I think what Andy Reid will have to do, and more than likely do, is move those pieces around, move the likes of Tyreek Hill around, get him on that mismatch.
Well, we also forgot Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, who was
different player, different team when he's on the squad as well, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's been doing quite well for them when they've always looked like they needed someone on the opposite side. They brought in Calvin Benjamin.
I don't think was he playing when they played earlier in the year?
I don't think so, he had a few injuries throughout the year, yeah. He's only really come back over the last few weeks. So then again, you know, if by chance they can lock down Tyreek Hill, you have a guy that knows the Patriots. He played them a few times when he was a member of the Bills.
Big thing is, I've seen Eric Berry was practicing today. Massive boost and massive need for that team.
And he lost all of last year, actually, in that game.
Where he destroyed Gronk.
Where I think he tore his Achilles or something like that in that game in Foxborough. So he'll come in, made sure of him. He'll have a little chip on his shoulder as well coming into that. So you're going...
I'm going to go with Patriots, begrudgingly.
Okay. I'm going to go with Chiefs. I want that old versus new narrative going into the Super Bowl. So it either has to be Breeze, Mahomes, or Brady v. Goff.
I'm wondering if the Chiefs win, Brady just runs to the locker room and doesn't shake Mahomes' hand. Didn't do it to Big Dick Nick, you know?
Never know, yeah. Just don't know with that guy. He is a competitor, but he also has his moments.
Yeah, diva.
Right, we'll leave it at that. That's our preview. So you got Saints and Pats. I have Saints and Chiefs. We'll see how the weather affects everything. It's going to be a cold one. What are you rating the cider? I was going to say beer. What are you rating the cider out of this week?
In one final taste here.
One final taste. So Bantam, Wonderkind, modern American cider, 6%. Who's the company? Oh, Bantam is the company.
Yeah.
Oh, they're based in Somerville. Yeah. Actually, Somerville, Massachusetts, yeah.
I like this. I'm going to go 9. Again, I obviously have a different view on ciders than beers and IPAs.
But you know ciders more than I do, so.
But this, again, a unique and lingering soft finish. It does have a soft finish. It doesn't have a lingering taste.
But soft finish, star of your life, innit?
I know.
The disappointment. I was going to give it in the mid-8s, so I'm glad that a cider connoisseur such as yourself has given it quite a high score. Grant, all right, we'll leave it at that for episode 54. We've only got a few now towards the end of the season, right? We'll do a Pro Bowl episode next week. We'll do our big Super Bowl preview show, and then we'll probably do a little post Super Bowl show. So we've only a few left.
Yeah.
But we appreciate all the support and listens we've gotten over the year. Now that we're kicking into 2019, keep an eye on our social media pages. I mentioned earlier on, going to be giving away one or two prizes in competitions. So Facebook, Insta, Twitter. And yeah, keep listening and downloading whichever app you're using. Spotify, iTunes, all the other weird and crazy Android ones. That leaves it at that for episode 54 of Paddy Pigskin. Tune in next time where, as always, we will have less slant and more slauncha. Take care. His neighbors couldn't stand his soul. He was banished to the park. Started in the morning, one stopped after dark. Yeah, when they said it's getting late in here. So I'm sorry, young man, there's no skating here. And so we kick, push, kick, push, kick, push, kick, push, coast. And away he rolled, just a rebel to the world with no place to go. And so we kick, push, kick, push, kick, push, kick, push, coast. So come escape with me, just a rebel looking for a place to be. So let's kick and push and coast. My man got a little older, became a better roller. Yeah, no helmet, hell bent on killing himself, is what his mama said. But he was feeling himself, got a little more swag in his style. Met his girlfriend, she was clapping in the crowd. Love is what was happening to him now. He said I would marry you, but I'm engaged to these aerials and varials. And I don't think this board is strong enough to carry two. She said bow,
I weigh 120 pounds. Now, let me make one thing clear. I don't need to ride yours, I got mine right here. So she took him to a spot he didn't know about. Some odd in the apartment parking lot. She said, I don't normally take dates in here. Security came and said, I'm sorry, there's no skating here. And so they kick, push, kick, push, kick, push, kick, push, coast. And the way they roll, just lovers intertwined with no place to go. And so they kick, push, kick, push, kick, push, kick, push, coast. So come escape with me, just a rebel, looking for a place to be. So let's kick, and push, yeah, yeah, and coast.
Yeah,
swank it.
Yeah, yeah, before he knew he had a crew that wasn't no punk, and they spit fire shirts and SB dunks. They would push till they couldn't skate no more. Office building lobbies wasn't safe no more, and it wasn't like they wasn't getting chased no more. Just the freedom was better than breathing, they said. An escape route they used to escape out. When things got crazy, they needed to break out. They'd head to any place with stairs, any good grinds, the world was theirs. And they four wheels would take them there until the cops came and said, there's no skating here. And so they kick, push, kick, push, kick, push, kick, push, coast. And the way they roll, just rebels without a cause, with no place to go. And so they kick, push, kick, push, kick, push, kick, push, coast. So come roll with me, just a rebel, looking for a place to be. So let's kick,